All right, welcome into a Barncast Live Sunday night edition, and we have so much to talk about. We're going to talk a lot about portal in basketball. It's been absolutely insane. Auburn's had some really big retentions, a lot of big-time targets, feels like, that Auburn's in the mix for. So many possibilities over the next couple of, I guess, not even couple of weeks. It's less than 2 weeks now. We'll kind of know everything about this team. We'll know who they are. We'll kind of have a good feel about maybe even how we stand up as far as the SEC goes and maybe the rest of the country. But the big news, guys, Tahad is back. And I'm going to jump into the Tahad discussion in a minute. But I've seen this conversation, and I want to get your guys' take on it. But it feels like – There's a big section of the fans or people in general that don't value retentions enough. Like if you're a good coach, you should be able to retain your players and blah 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 blah. And it's like a lot of these same guys will argue that, you know, Steven couldn't rally the troops, or these guys didn't want to play for Steven, so they downplay that. And then when he gets them to come back, they downplay it on that side too. So just talk about that. When you retaining a guy this nowadays in the portal, to me, is just as big as going out and grabbing, you know, a five-star guy out of the portal.
Sometimes it can even be bigger because he knows your system. He knows your culture. He's more comfortable. Look, retaining people that you want to retain is very much just as important as going out and getting pieces of the puzzle. Now, the key is, are you evaluating correctly? Are you, looking at who you want to retain and who you want to throw that money at, because you've only got so much allocated NIL money? And so when you're evaluating this and you're determining on who you want to keep, that's really, really important. You have to get the right guys. And I will say, credit to Auburn, they have. I mean, I think that they've gotten people that they've retained people that they've wanted to retain. They still may retain, you know, one more. And then at that point, you know, you're going to look and say, okay, now let's plug holes. Keeping your own players that you value is just as important as going out and getting other guys.
Zach, there's over 2,000 players, I think, in the portal, maybe even more than that. Close to 50% of college basketball is in the portal.
Yeah.
Is retaining players just as big as going out and getting new guys?
Well, let's reverse engineer this. Of all those players in the portal, if Tahad Pettiford enters the portal, he might be the best player in the portal. He's top five for sure, and it becomes a national story. And wherever he goes, everyone says, oh, yeah, they got better. They got better because they got Tahad Pettiford. Stephen Pearl got Tahad Pettiford in his first transfer portal window as head coach. As far as guys that were a threat to enter the portal, I mean, the way I talked about it all season, I thought Tahad had a real serious chance of leaving. And I'm so, so glad that he is still an Auburn Tiger. But yeah, like if you reverse engineer this, Tahad would have been a top player in the portal, and you keep him from going in there. So yeah, in today's age, whoever you retain, it's like you added them. Every single year, everybody's on 1 year contracts now. Yeah. So yeah, getting Tahad Pettiford is a big deal.
No doubt about it. There's a lot of talk about that NIT run and what it meant for Steven and Tahad's relationship. And I've heard people say, hey, if it weren't for that NIT run, like Tahad may not be back this year. Do y'all buy into that narrative? Like, have you kind of heard a lot of the same things?
I think so on both ends. I think it's a two-sided coin. I think that Tahad played so much better in that NIT tournament and started playing better at the end of the year that his value to Auburn went up, meaning they were going to do what they needed to do to step up and keep him. Then on the other side, I think Tahad saw the fun again in playing Auburn basketball when you're winning and being a major contributor when you're winning, being a part of that puzzle of winning basketball. So I think Auburn looked at him differently after that NIT run, and I think he looked at Auburn differently. And I think both facets of that is the reason why it was able to come together and make it happen.
Anything to add to that, Zach?
Nope. I think Dap nailed it. I agree with all that. Huge for culture, huge for momentum, huge for Tahad figuring things out.
So you got Tahad back. You got Sway back. You got Kevin Overton back, obviously. And then you got Simon Walker back. I think there's a portion of those.
I'm sorry, Kyle. I just want to be technically correct. According to Brad Law, we are calling him Kevin Overtime.
Overtime. Okay. I love that, by the way. That needs to be
That's a Brad Law thing. I don't want to push back against him.
We need to have that as a t-shirt at aushirts.com. So we'll reach out to Kevin Overton and get that one done.
Once again, I'm sorry, Kyle. His name is Kevin Overton.
Kevin Overton.
You just did it again.
Yeah, my bad. It won't happen again. If you had to pick four, how many of those four do you think were in your four to come back? Like, if you're guessing, two of them, maybe?
Oh, no. Two. Because I had Tahad and Overton. Overton was a must. Tahad, I didn't think realistically was going to. I just kind of given up on that. I thought that ship had sailed.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And then my other one would have been Freeman. I thought Freeman, Jovich, Overton, and Sway.
That was my four.
That was going to be the four that stayed. And if you can swap Tahad for Jovich and you can get Freeman to come, then I think you're, you know, with what we're talking about as far as future portal targets that probably are going to commit soon, I think that's a great core to build on.
Yeah, and one thing about this is I talked about this on the show I dropped this morning where we talked about Elijah Freeman probably taking a massive jump and Filip Jovich taking a massive jump. And I'm not saying that they won't wherever they go. But something we hear across sports consistently, it doesn't matter what it is, your biggest jump in development, typically, there are exceptions, is between your freshman year and your sophomore year. And when you look at Freeman and when you look at Jovich, older guys, I think the staff is looking at Sway and saying, like, yeah, you are a freshman. Like, you are truly a freshman when it comes to age, not just eligibility. And I kind of wonder if that played a factor in this. I think this staff believes the jump will be significant for Sway this offseason.
Well,
and I'm going to tell you something that's an indication of that real quick. Sorry, Kyle, is that there were some things on his game that he needed to work on. One of which was free throws, and look how much better he got down the stretch shooting free throws than he did early in the season. That tells me that's a kid that shows improvement, maturation, and growth, meaning there's more to his upside. And so he worked on that aspect of his game, and it got significantly better. I think that's why they're willing to say, look at the jump he'll take between his freshman and sophomore year.
Now, let me ask you this, and y'all, again, Dap, you know more about basketball than me. Is it easier for a player to develop their offensive game or their defensive game? Like, is that which one is easier to develop as, like, the year, like, as their careers go? Because it feels like to me defense is more of like a mindset and a choice, and then offense, you know, is, you know, may take some time, but like you kind of either got it or you don't on defense. Am I off?
I would tell you what. No, you're right. And go Google Frank Martin when he was at South Carolina. A young child, like about 12 years old, asked him a question, and Frank Martin gushed and said, "That is one of the best questions I've ever gotten." And it's from a 12-year-old. And this kid said, "Is defense for you a mindset of effort or technique?" And Frank Martin said both, but effort first. We look at attitude and effort first, and we can teach you technique. I think it's a lot easier. First of all, you got to have that mindset of effort, and I think that's easier to do from a defensive standpoint. I think it's easier to teach somebody stance, technique, switching, fighting through screens than it is how to score. Gotcha. How to score is a God-given natural gift. I mean, to put the ball in the hoop is either you do or you don't, and I don't think a coach has it. But you can teach. You can't teach the dog. You can't teach the mindset.
That's kind of where I'm going. But, I was going with that.
Yeah, but you can gain that mindset faster than you can gain, I think, an attitude of, I'm going to be confident shooting this three with 2 seconds left in the game. That's different than I'm going to be confident breaking down on this guy and getting in his stuff and guarding him. It's easier on defense.
But to me, though, that's what Steven wants. Like that a Steven Pearl team, I feel like he wants that dog on the – like you got to have that mindset on defense to go guard all the way out to the three-point line. And Sway can do that. Like, I think he can stretch out and make it a little bit tougher for teams to shoot threes if you got somebody behind him that can, you know, guard up down low. So, good stuff there. Do y'all expect much out of Simon moving forward? Like, he's a really intriguing prospect to me that's probably in different systems, I think, would be valued way more than maybe Auburn's, you know, at this point in time. What do you think about him moving forward, and what do you expect out of him?
I think if he's your eighth guy on your roster and in your rotation and you can turn him into a 3-and-D player, I think there's a lot of upside there.
I think they're trying to keep him on this roster and see if he makes that leap that we've just talked about, Kyle, between his freshman and sophomore year from his defensive liabilities. Somehow you can hide those by zoning or doing switches or shading to one side. But like we just said, you can't teach that three-point stroke, and he has that. And if he gets confident and he can become that guy off the bench that gives you 10 to 12 minutes a game and gives you 6 points with hitting a couple threes, you're willing to sacrifice the defensive liability part.
There you go. Let's talk about Kevin Overton really quick, and then we're going to get to some super chats. Who's more important? He was more important at the time. Like, who's the more important player? And this may be an unfair conversation to have. Woo. As far as next year's roster goes between he and Tahai. Like, to me, Kevin Overtime was insanely important. That's a tough one.
I think that Tahai's versatility, because people forget that he was recruited as a combo guard, not to be just a true point guard. He can play the two, coming off ball screens. And I think that versatility is what gives him just a slight edge over Overton. But there's a difference between most important and most valuable.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
And I think Overton Overtime, Kevin Overtime, is the most valuable right now. Tahad is the most important because he has the potential to elevate his game, which elevates Auburn's game. See, Kevin Overton did, I think, everything he could do to make Auburn better. I think there were some times in the season that Tahad could have done more. And if Tahad closes that gap next year, this team becomes that much better.
I think that's fair. You got anything?
What else could you ask? What else could you ask KO to do that he didn't do, right? I mean,
he's just so good to me on both sides of the court.
I would say Tahad for both of those. But I think we're splitting hairs. I don't think it's like some crazy disagreement.
It may be an unfair question. To me, just in general, Overtime coming back was at that point in time, like, you needed a win on the board, and you got it with one of your better players on the team. And I just love his game, man. I love everything about him on both sides of the court and how hot he got in the NIT when Auburn needed a shooter. And nobody else wanted to step up. Overtime did multiple. It's going to take me a minute, but I'm going to get it down.
I'm saying KO.
Let's just go with KO. I like that.
Yeah.
Let me hit some super chats. I'm going to do the softball and last, but just hang in there. Reverend Barnbooster says, Hyde from Texas is the chosen transition three-point shooter. I think we need 45% from three-point land is a crazy stat. It bring me all the tall shooters that we can possibly get. 10-time champ, which I love that. He changed that name before the NIT game, so he almost jinxed us. Women's tennis, SEC champs. We're doing so much winning. Win, win, win. Yawn. If you want to win, be an Auburn fan. So shout out.
Oh, that's us.
Women's tennis.
That's us. Winning everything.
Eat that in golf. Barn Booster again. KO, Hyde, Sway coming back in the portal era is huge for Stephen Pearl. Now he needs contributing players from the portal. It's not just a reset. It's a revival.
Ooh, that's hot.
Yeah,
I love
that's
that.
Bar.
And then go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, Auburn at this point is also looking for not just depth. You are now looking for maybe one or two starters too. So remember that when they're going into the portal.
Easily. Tiger Time says, can we talk about the disaster that has been softball this year? When I saw that pop in, y'all have anything in particular to say about softball?
I have no clue.
So they're 23.
I do.
They're 23-19. I got two things to say really quick. Okay. They're 23-19 overall. Their conference record is bad. Okay. It's 2-13. But their RPI is 30. Okay. So this is the whole conversation around like what does it take to get to postseason? So they've played a tough schedule. Women's sports and NIL is tough, man. It just is. It's a tough sell. And there are some schools that are going to be more traditionally able to do it than others. And Auburn is probably going to struggle in that. They're going to have to figure out how to hype that up so they can get the NIL rolling in for the women's sports. So it's tough. But, I mean, they're right there in striking distance as far as RPI goes. So, I mean, the season's not over, so they could lose the rest of their games and knock themselves out. But they played a tough schedule so far, and that's all I got.
The roster's so much better. I'm very much a believer in the Malvo, that combination. I think this roster is so much better. I believe the way they hit the ball and the exciting brand of softball, the wins will come. People need to understand how barren the closets were left in women's basketball and women's softball.
Yeah.
And the job that Mickey Dean and Johnny Harris left it barren. And what the Malvos had to do, they're getting really good players, getting good high school players, good transfer portal players. Their brand of softball is a little bit higher end. It'll come, but you're right. They've played an absolutely brutal schedule, and they went on the road and played in these high-end tournaments earlier in the year. So I like the direction, and I think that they've got the roster to compete. It's just going to take a little bit of time, and I think Vickers will get it done too. It's just – it was barren, man. It was barren.
They've lost 9 in a row. I know, so that's tough. And then they lost – obviously, they got swept by Alabama this past weekend. So that's never good either. But, you know, you just have to see. You got to
get that's just our thing right now.
That's kind of our thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of our thing.
Exactly.
Jacob says, in all seriousness, I hope we can keep sleeveless Blake. Kid made some plays on D off the bench. Let me say this. I agree with you, and I hope he comes back, but I hope we bring in enough talent that his minutes are cut. I hate to say that, but I want to see.
He doesn't need to be playing A for sure.
Yeah. Like, I want to see, we need to get some a little bit more of a factor, you know, off the bench to back up to Todd or whoever runs point primarily. I don't think that's an unfair. I think that's an unfair take.
No, he's one of those guys, and this may sound really harsh, that he needs to be a really, really good practice player and make everybody else that he competes against in practice better. And Leor Berman did that, but Leor Berman contributed. Leor Berman could come in a game and score and dunk on you, for the love of God. So yeah, Blake needs to be that guy. And then if you just need a 3 or 4 minute stretch where you get somebody to play tenacious defense and get on somebody's nerves, that's what he needs to do.
You got some fouls to give. Let him get. Let him run out there. And
yeah, and make him hard. Make him hard.
There you go. We got a bunch rolling in right now, so we'll just keep rolling with this before we switch to a Todd conversation. Alden Tay says, Todd is an elite at the pick and roll. We desperately need a big that can complement him. Chemistry.
That is a great
I don't know. We obviously didn't have that this year, which took a portion of the game of his game away.
Yeah.
Do you remember how many great passes he made to Jani Broome last year?
Yes.
I mean, it's so forgotten and so underrated, the pick and roll, and how he just had a feel for where Jani was going to be. And even Jani said, as a freshman, it's uncanny. And Dylan, he knew when to release the basketball off a low ball screen, and they had wonderful chemistry. And we didn't have a big this year that could do that and that had that chemistry. So that is a very good point by that viewer, that super chat. And Auburn needs to look for that in the portal, make sure that, you know, the big man understands the pick and roll.
So Todd played 10 more minutes, and this is to your point, super chat guy, Alden Tay. Todd played 10 more minutes per game this year, and he added 0.8 assists per game. So, like, that's exactly what you're talking about. It just – the roster – and, again, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, but there it just wasn't the most ideal scenario to kind of, I guess, accentuate what he does well. Reverend Barn Booster says, what's the latest on the dude from Lithuania?
It's close, right?
Yeah,
it's Mantis is his name, and I'm going to call him Praying Mantis.
Mantis, that's let's just go with that. That's easy.
Yeah,
you got a 6'6" wing that can shoot 40%. He shoots 40% from three, and he's played pro ball since he was 15 or 16 years old. So
he's 23. He's 23 years old. Yeah.
So
I mean, he's experienced. Yeah, like him a lot.
I think, though, I don't know that it's a one-for-one deal, but I don't know that the chapter and book is all the way closed on Freeman, and they may be trying to fill this one out. And if it's, you know, for sure Freeman's gone, they may jump on this guy. But it's looking good for Auburn. So hopefully that he would be a fun addition because, you know, a big long guy that can shoot threes.
The reason why I think it's looking really good for Auburn is we've heard some stuff. I've heard from a couple of good sources. He's Auburn's. But the Shelley kid that's coming in from Loyola Marymount that started his career at USC that averages about 14 a game and that's 6'6 and left-handed. Auburn's kind of putting him a little bit at bay, and I think they're putting him at bay because they think they're getting Mantis.
Mantis is also left-handed, by the way, which is just auto. Yeah. Auburn. That's just like,
yeah. I want both of them.
Why not?
Yeah.
The problem is can you convince both of them to come? That's the tough part. It's like, you want to come, like you're probably going to play in you're going to share minutes. Like that's the hardest part. Like I feel like it's really easy to maybe fill out your starting five, and then after that, it's so tough.
Yeah. It's the same situation, and I know this for a fact. I made some calls before this show, just so that I could talk about this on this show for you guys. The Dowd kid from Troy really wants to come to Auburn, but Sway coming back put a little monkey wrench in that because they play similar possessions. And so does Dowd want to go chase minutes and a larger payout, or does he want, I mean, it's a tough situation. It takes a completely different mentality to get a kid to come to say you're coming off the bench.
Oh yeah.
Or you're going to compete. What?
That's not just a dude. He's a Dowd.
He's a Dowd.
There you go.
Look at that Dowd over there.
Oh, I love it. Let's switch gears for a second. We'll jump back into any super chats that pop in. Dap's got to run. I want to get Dap's thoughts on one thing before you leave. Dap, you talk a lot about Tahad when he's coming back and maybe playing more too. Okay. And I think I understand that. I know he was a combo guy coming out of high school, but I've heard people talk about this a lot and I want to get your thoughts on it. And the ball dominance that was needed from Keyshawn Hall really monkey wrenched, I guess, it was a necessity, had to do it, had to get a guy that could score points, but maybe slowed down or hindered the way that the offense could have run with Tahad at point. That is a lot of the argument that I've heard about bringing him back and running him again at point guard. I want to get your thoughts on that. And then how do you, if he is over at the two, like how do you work that rotation when you got Kevin Overton and all these other guys, like how does that work?
Well, I think that there's this automatic mindset that if somebody is not the point guard, that they can't have the ball in their hands at certain spots on the court that matters. And all that is you design your offense to make sure he gets the ball after the ball crosses half court. Cause what it does, it wears you down physically. You get trapped, you get double teamed. They're more physical with you when you're playing the point. It frees you up once you go across the timeline and you're on the perimeter and you get the basketball. You're already in motion. You're already moving without the ball. You already can find open spaces. You can find pockets along the baseline or on the perimeter. It doesn't mean you can still get as many touches. You're just getting your touches after the ball crosses the timeline. That's the first thing. How does that work with Overton? Overton can also play the three in certain offensive sets. When Auburn goes small ball, what you want to do ideally is do like the deal with Denver Jones. Go get a combo guard to complement to Hyde. Take some of that pressure off to Hyde where he doesn't have to play the point the whole game, and he can slide to the two, and then Overton can slide to the three. And now you're playing a lineup that you got good ball handlers, good slashers, good thrashers, and good guys that can shoot the three. Does that hurt you on defense? Again, not if you run a certain kind of defense where you can hide that or match up with the zone. That's how it looks. Don't get caught in the mindset that if he doesn't have the ball, bringing the ball up the court, he's not getting as many touches. Just let him get his touches after it gets across half court and they're not as physical or trapping him. And he's got more freedom and he's got more room and he's got more space.
But as far as percentage of running point versus at two, like what would be the most ideal thing to see out at the Hyde?
The split to me, the ideal split would be maybe a 60-40. Let him run the point 60% of the time and let him not run it 40% of the time, because that 40%, and again, you have a guard that you can bring in that's just interchangeable. That man. Because Overton's going to have to come out of the game at some point. Tahad's going to have to come out of the game at some point. And this other guard you get is going to have to come out. So if you rotate all those three and have equitable minutes, you can just plug and play where they go. One slides over to the one slides to the two, one slides to the three. So a 60-40 split for me would be ideal for Tahad.
I'm with you. I thought you were thinking 60-40 the other way.
He just needs to play more too. I should have been more clear. I just would like to see him play more too. That's why I keep saying get a hybrid guard, a combo guard, that can play both the one and two, and let Tahad play both the one and two, but with the heavy emphasis still a majority on him running the point, but give him more looks at the two than they did last year.
Zach, I really like that Tulsa kid. I wish somehow Tylan Riley.
Yeah,
I like him too. Is he still coming on a visit? Because after Tahad announced, he's still coming. Because I think it was more of one of those things like if Tahad leaves, you maybe could swing in and get this kid because he's a baller.
Man, if I'm Tahad, I would want to play with him. You talk about scooting out of the two, like that guy helps you if he's on the floor.
Big time. Yep. And he's electric. I mean, who did he posterize? Was it Sway?
I mean, they've got to add a point guard.
Yeah, you got to
add one. Like, might as well get a good one.
Yeah. How much money is that guy going to cost? Who knows? But
I don't know. I'm kind of doing the math in my head. I feel like we've got it.
Help me out with it.
Like if we're at 12 to 14, what do we think Tahad got?
Three.
Okay.
Just a guess.
What do we think Sway got?
Less than a million or right around a million.
Let's round up. Let's say a million.
Okay.
So we're at 4 million. What do you think Simon Walker got?
Simon Walker got maybe 250,000.
All you can eat it. Old time
Bob Hour.
Yeah, right. What do you think Narcisse, the French guy, got?
Gosh.
1.5.
1.5? Yeah.
Okay. What are we at? What are we at there?
Well, you didn't include Kevin Overton. He got 1.5.
I know Daryl.
So that's right at 7 or 8. Yeah.
Yeah. Overton's what, 2-ish?
1.5, I think.
1.5? Really? Okay. And then is that it?
Yeah.
That's it. For like 3 or 4 more spots, we've got like 6-ish million.
Yeah. I guess I see what you're saying.
I mean, it just depends on how many guys you want to add.
Did we use all our NIL money from last year?
No, I think there were some that was left over, but it's rolled into.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the number that's being reported. I don't know if that's part of it or not.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, maybe you're right. I mean, I got to put pen to paper, but.
Like that guy's not going to be worth more than Overton, is he? If Overton's 1.5, like that guy's not worth more than 1.5, is he?
Especially if he's probably making 150 at Tulsa right now.
Yeah.
Right. If you go from one, it's all relevant. If you go from 150 to a million, that's life changing money. I mean, that's big. You know, guys, I'm going to jump off. I got to roll, so I just want to let you know that I'm leaving. And
love you so much.
Enjoyed it. Enjoyed it, guys.
We'll see you.
I miss him already.
I know. Luke Wigginton says plan for A Day. We got something working.
We'll know tomorrow, probably, right?
We'll know about it tomorrow. And if we know about it tomorrow, we'll put it out there. And regardless, we will have somewhere that we can meet. Like we'll have some kind of designated area. We'll both be on campus. We'll be at the game. So we'll make sure that we come up with something, but there could be, we got something really fun, possibly brewing that we'll let everybody know the details about.
Yep.
Tomorrow. Speaking of, I guess you want to talk about football before we leave? Get out of here.
Sure. Yeah. Great.
We talked a lot of basketball. Let's talk football really quick. You got A-Day on Saturday.
Got a scrimmage Tuesday.
Got a scrimmage Tuesday morning. And we will have player availability after the fact.
Mm-hmm. No, we'll have Golish after the fact.
Golish. That's right. Golish
after on the fact. Tuesday. Thursday, we'll get a little bit of viewing window and some players after that. And then, of course, Saturday, we'll get all kinds of stuff.
No TV. So if you're going to find out anything, you need to be subscribed so we can give you all the rundown about what went on for A-Day. Zach, this will probably be the last thing we talk about. This is how many years now running where it's like the same story, defense crushing the offense. And if I don't know if crushing is the right word, but it does feel like they are significantly ahead.
Seems pretty lopsided. For sure.
So much so that it's almost like it's hard for the offense to even really get much accomplished when they go to those periods. I know they'll have a big play, a big score here or there. At what point is it a concern? And at what point is it just simply the defenses are just always going to be ahead of the offenses at this point in time? Like,
I don't think Walsh is concerned, and that's where I'm at. With it, I think Golish is perfectly content if he feels like the offense is doing what it's supposed to do and all the pieces are supposed to work together and they're working in the way that he thinks it should. And if the defense is just dominating, like I think he's comfortable with that. Look, this defense, part of the intrigue of this offense, and this is partially why some people call it gimmicky. I don't think it's gimmicky. But it is a system here. And part of the trickiness of it all is it's a lot to throw at you. It's a different type of game plan that you have just for 1 week of prep. And so I think the defense seeing it every day, it should benefit the defense. And like, we don't know how dominant it is and, you know, how like, you know, if you got corners out there, like they're going to know these reads and these tells and these tendencies. I'm not worried about it yet. And I don't know if anything will happen to where
you will.
I will, you know. You know, Golish talked about making it as hard as possible on all the players, but especially the offense. I think that's going to be a thing. And I think there's a real chance that the defense dominates all the way up to the season opener against Baylor in Atlanta. And the Auburn offense walks out there and they're so battle tested that playing Baylor is going to be like a walk in the park. I think that's the goal that we need to be looking
for. That is the key for me. And we're not having conversations about taking it easy. We're not having conversations about having to make stuff, pull the reins back on the defense a little bit. And if you played any baseball growing up and you swung a bat with a weight on it or, you know, you lifted heavy weights, but before you did, you know, workouts or whatever, and it made things lighter. Like, that's just, I feel like that's what we're going to see. And I know we say this every year, especially when there's a running quarterback, but we haven't had a running quarterback with the production that this guy has had, you know, against actual competition, even SEC competition. And for some reason, I just feel like when that guy can actually run the ball, like actually really legitimately be part of the running game at
And Kyle, if this guy is who all of these teammates say that he is and all these coaches seem to think that he is and folks close to the program firmly believe that Byram is, when the lights come on, we'll see it.
100%.
When the lights come on, we'll know one 100%. Way or the other. And I'm also like, I'm expecting the offense to be better. Let's just think for a second, though. Let's talk about what we did a year ago at this time. Mm. With this defense, the offense just has to be okay.
Amen.
If Auburn has the eighth best offense in the SEC last year, we're in a totally different spot right now.
You're talking 8 or 9 wins.
And that hasn't changed. And so is Auburn doing enough to be a top half offense in the SEC? Yeah, I think so. Auburn can win games this season. Auburn can go 3-1 against first year head coaches this year, which would really kind of turn their season around, and hopefully turn the program around. If they have just a solid offense, it doesn't need to, you know, light the world on fire. Now, I think it has the potential to. I'm not downplaying anything here, but I'm just saying the conversation we had a year ago about Jackson is the same conversation we can have about Byram and this offense this year.
One more touchdown a game. One more, 6 more points, and you're how much better overall? I mean, you nailed it. You nailed all that. I agree with you. Baseball, win a big series.
Yeah. So I'm getting a lot of questions about baseball, like the time and the time going into it, and the financial return. We had to put a pause on it. Auburnator's asking when those will come back. Lindsay and I actually talked about this on Thursday or Friday. We'll come back for postseason, but we're going to have to, during regular season, we'll just kind of leave it be. But a big series win today. We saw two incredible outings by the pitch, by Auburn starting pitchers. And I think, with the current setup of what they're going to have, like, I think there's a lot of excitement moving forward with this team. I mean, it's definitely offensively, it's hit or miss, it seems like, but these pitchers are going to give you a chance every time they go out there.
100%. And that, now the Barn Baseball Show is still rolling, right?
Barn Baseball Show is still rocking and rolling.
100%. Yeah, yeah. Like, so if you want to, we'll have that show with Lindsay and
Brad and Sonny.
I mean, that's been weekly, every week. Like, it's once or twice a week, depending.
Yeah, so. Multiple years there. Sonny's literally on the freaking staff.
He coaches first base. He literally coaches the team.
Yeah, he stands at first base. Yeah.
It's awesome. Gotta hit this super chat really quick, and we'll get out of here. Go back to Cohen's speech last year. If our offense was average, we win. Zach, spot on, dude. It's true. Just average. You don't even have to be great. And like you said, to echo it, this one has a chance to be great. So
yeah, and I think greatness is the goal. I don't know if greatness was the goal last year.
I don't either.
And I think that matters.
It was like just survive or just be good enough or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, good deal, guys. I really appreciate y'all jumping in. This is kind of our like regular old. We've had some NIT games. We've had the call. So like this is like a regular Sunday night live that we're kind of getting back into.
We've been barncasting a little bit of a championship run. That's just part of the gig.
Not everybody can say that. Nope. Not everybody can say that. So y'all have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk all throughout the week. You know where to find Zach. You know where to find me. Let's talk again soon. We're out.